I knew I was going to talk to y'all for a couple of weeks now, and I've been studying, and it seems like every time I started to read my Bible or study, I kept hearing something. It was the TV. And what it was saying is that our financial system is in dire condition. People are losing all kind of money. In fact, they're losing their retirements, like half of their retirements. It's just going away, just vanishing. And, you know, it kept interrupting me and bothering my studies, and it wouldn't get out of my head. And I thought, well, you know, what people should be investing in is not the here and now. They should be investing in their eternal retirement. Or their, instead of their IRA, it should be their HRA, their heavenly retirement account. Or it's, you know, another thing you could say is this is the gospel according to Charles Schwab. So let's look, and what I did was I took the principles of investing for your individual retirement account, and I kept hearing these things, you know, people were trying to reassure everyone. And I said, well, those are spiritual things also. So when you start looking into what a person needs to be advised to do to plan for their retirement, they say start with the basics for long-term investing. For long-term. And what is the first basic of long-term investing? It's to contribute the maximum allowed amount. The maximum that you can do. The maximum you're allowed to do. Look at this verse here. Mark 12 and 30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Is that the maximum amount allowed? I think so. That's the maximum humanly possible to invest. Another one, commit to regular contributions. You can't just take something and hide it or put it in the bank and hide it away and think that it's going to grow as much as if you invested regularly. And what does this mean for us spiritually? Look here, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. That means continually, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain for the Lord. That's continually. That's regular contributions. That's all the time. You also have to invest in the right things. You can't just invest in just anything and expect to get a good return on your investment. Look what this says. You know this verse right here. Matthew 6:31. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat or drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You have to seek something first. And what are those things? His kingdom and His righteousness. Two things you have to seek first before anything else. So what is His kingdom? What does that mean to seek His kingdom? That's kind of a hard thing to get your... What does it mean to seek a kingdom? It doesn't make a lot of sense. But what it means is that you want to be in His kingdom, which means under His rule. You actually seek to be in His kingdom under His rule as Him being your king. That means you have to want Him to be your king and your master. That's what it means to seek His kingdom. You want to be His servant. And we know by this verse right here, He will take care of His servants. It's the king's responsibility to take care of His servants. What else do they tell you, Charles Schwab, the gospel according to Charles Schwab? Start early to maximize compounding. For some of you that may not know, compounding means, okay, if you have $1,000 in a bank account and it draws interest, then the next year it's drawing interest on the 1,000 plus, so you get even more reward, right? And if you start early, then over time, your money grows even more. But spiritually, we need to make a decision that right now you have to commit on this heavenly investment. The sooner you start, the more you get, the more compounding. It just grows and grows and grows and grows. Look at this, Luke 19:26. I tell you that to everyone who has shall more be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. If you invest, God will give you more spiritually. He will compound it. If you don't, He's going to take whatever little bit you have away. You have to start early right now. You cannot wait. Don't rely on safety nets to take care of you. What are safety nets in the world? Social Security? Are you relying on the government to give you enough money to live on? It ain't gonna happen. You might get a little. My generation may get even littler. And Dawson's generation may get nada. We don't know. You cannot rely on safety nets. What's our safety net in the world? Church. For a lot of people. Going to church never saved anybody. It does not. If you think going to church is your safety net, you are wrong. It does not save anybody, and you better not rely on safety nets to get you to the kingdom. Matthew 15:8 says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Do you know there's a lot of people go to church, but their heart is far from God? All the time. I meet them all the time. Some of the best, most religious people you ever meet, but their heart is far from God. Here, when you're investing, you have to know yourself. You have to be honest with yourself about the amount of investing you can really do. And you have to judge yourself. When you're investing, you have to know, like in investing money, you have to know how much risk you want to take, how much you're willing to allow, how much you honestly can put back. You go on these fanciful mind things thinking you're going to be, you know, king of the world. But you need to be honest to yourself and realistic about what you can actually do. You need to judge your investing only. Your spiritual investments that you make, you are the only one on this world that needs to be judging those investments and how you're making them. Look at Romans 14:1. This may be a little small for y'all. Look at this. It says, now accept the one who is weak in faith. We're about to talk about people who are weak in faith. And it says, go ahead and let those weak in faith come in. But not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Let them come in, but don't pass judgment on these people that are weak in faith. One man has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Let him who eats regard, let not him who eats with contempt, let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat. So the eaters don't need to judge or hold in contempt the non-eaters. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? Who are you to judge that person? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord's able to make him stand. Look at this. You will hear these scriptures misquoted to you. One man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be convinced, fully convinced in his own mind. Continuing, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself, for if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So we went on this big thing about judging our brothers, right? So it's very confusing, and you have to read it for yourself to understand it. But let's look at the summary here. But you, why do you judge your brother? Are you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Okay? It's not for us to judge other people's investments and how they're investing. It's not. We're only going to be held accountable to the master for our investments. That's it. The experts will tell you to invest for growth and not short-term gain. Short-term strategies often fail. In the investing world, this would be like if you thought you were going to enter the market on Friday, and you knew that some good news was coming out, and on Monday you were going to make a bunch of money. Well, that sounds good, but reality is people who try to do that end up losing money. On the short term, you will lose money. Yeah, some people make money, but you will lose money. In spiritual terms, this is also the truth. Short-term strategies will fail. Don't just seek God during the hard times, wanting an immediate blessing. That's a short-term strategy. And you know what? A lot of people do that. And you know what? They may or may not get what they're asking for, but you follow them along, it just happens all over again in their life. You cannot just seek God during the hard times. That's a short-term strategy. It doesn't work. You know, how about these people who you've heard of them? They go to their mother or their father or grandmother or grandfather. They go away, far away. They don't ever call their mother or father. They're not even close to them. They're not even close to them. But something bad happens. They're right there. Mother, save me. Father, save me. Give me some money. Well, a lot of times that don't work. If you've been out of the will of your mother and father, you forget it. They're probably going to send you away. If you've been in their will the whole time, then they're probably going to help you. They're going to give you a blessing. You know, that's a long-term strategy, staying good with your mother and father. Short-term strategy is just forsake them and try to only use them when you're in need. It won't work. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay? Investing here on earth, in the grand scheme of things, is a short-term strategy. It don't work. It may work for a little while, but we're just here for a short term. You got your life, 100 years if you were lucky, and then you got eternity, which is infinitely long. You going to invest here? Are you going to invest here? You need to invest for the long term. But now we're going to talk really technical. Build a diversified portfolio. What that means is not putting all your eggs in one basket. Well, what could that? That don't sound like that could be a spiritual thing. But it is. How many people you know think the Bible starts at Matthew? It don't. But they think it does. When you are investing, invest in the whole word. Don't invest just in the New Testament. A lot of the New Testament is commentary and talking about what was said in the First Testament. The Bible does not start at Matthew, contrary to popular belief. You need to start with a firm foundation of the Ten Commandments and then expand from there to maximize your understanding. You have to start at the first to go to the second. You can't start at the second. That's just crazy. That's crazy talk. Look at what Romans says. Romans 15:4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for what? Our instruction. That through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." Wait, I thought hope was a New Testament thing. No, it's an Old Testament thing. It's one testament. At your diversified portfolio, that's the whole word. The New Testament says the Old Testament was about hope. Yeah. It was. Kind of talked on this. You need to take a long-term view when it comes to your spiritual investments. Long-term. You need to be disciplined and patient in your walk with God. If you're not patient in your spiritual growth, you get really frustrated. You could end up losing your investment. You need to be consistent. Don't set unrealistic goals. You don't want to decide one day that suddenly you're going to keep 100% of God's commands. That would be great. But I don't think any of us can do it. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We all fall short. You can't just take a new person off the street and walk in here and think that they're going to get it. You got to be realistic. If you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to burn out. I'll tell you, short-term approaches, they lead to chasing your tail. They lead to these cycles. They lead to just hopping around from one thing to another. They lead to this, Ephesians 4:14. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. If you're in for the short term, you'll hop from one spiritual, religious thing to another. Just continually. You get on this kick. You know, I'm on the kosher kick this week. Well, I forget all about the Sabbath. You know, or vice versa. Or you could get on some kind of kick, read some kind of book, and you get on this kick and you forsake the real things of God, the real word of God, because you get on these kicks, these short-term kicks. You need to be looking at long-term things in your study and investing. We all have to minimize our expenses. Expenses, you know, and money are things that cost you. To make money, you have to spend money. That's your expenses. In spiritual investing, there's expenses too. The expenses are things that distract from your relationship with God. That's funny. Look at this. Minimize distractions from your relationship with God. You wanted a good example? There you go. Those are expenses. Those are expenses. Distractions. John says, 2 John 1:7 says this, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you might receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. And the one who abides in the teaching, he has both Father and Son. So look, your expenses can overcome your gain if you don't watch it. Someone will take some of your reward from you. You let wrong things creep into you, deception. You're going to not receive your full reward. Well, when we're talking about eternity, I want everything I can get because that's going to be a permanent situation that can't be changed later. Everybody needs to stay on track and review your investing. You have to be, like we said, you got to be honest and judge yourself. This is where that comes in. You have to review your investments. This has to be a regular thing. Look, at a minimum, I mean, if you just come to church once a year, twice a year, like some people do, at those times, take the time to review your life and seek forgiveness for your sins. You review your investing. These things really should be done every day, all day long, continually. You need to review what you've accomplished for God in the past year. You need to do a self-evaluation. You need to be critical of yourself. Other people don't. You are the only one that can do that. Are you giving your best? Are you using your talents that you've been given? Are you really using them? We're going to look at a parable here. Matthew 25:14. It says, "For it's just like a man," and we're talking about the kingdom of God, what we're supposed to be seeking to be part of. This is Jesus telling us what it's like, that kingdom is like. It says, "For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded them and gained 5 more talents. And in the same manner, the one who received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of these slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you have entrusted 5 talents to me, and I have gained 5 more. And his master said, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' The one who also had received 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, you good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one also soul who had received 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' He gave him his 1 talent back. But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seeds. Then you have ought to put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and to he and he shall have abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away.'" Sounds like we're held accountable for how we invest with what the master has given us. Sounds like if we invest wisely, then we get more. And if we don't do anything at all, everything's taken away from us. That's pretty bad. We cannot just sit on our butts and do nothing spiritually. You know, this is Jesus's answer to how the kingdom of God functions. We're supposed to be seeking to be part of that kingdom. The kingdom is just. It may not seem fair to some people, but it's just in God's eyes. And we better realize that we're either part of this kingdom or we're part of Satan's kingdom. And that kingdom will be destroyed. It doesn't have any long-term perspects. You know, it's going to be done away with. We've got to have this idea of becoming a lifelong investor. We cannot, I'm talking to you old folks, don't become spiritually stagnant in your last years on this earth. In your mature years, more can be accomplished by you because of your great spiritual equity. You know what equity is? Equity is what you actually own. And y'all have had a whole lifetime to gather all this spiritual equity. Y'all can accomplish a lot more. A person who has equity can invest, can borrow, can do a lot because they've got all this money to make more money with. You older guys, you got a lot more spiritual equity. You're the guy that was given the 5 talents. Not the guy that was given the 1 talent. If you're given the 5 talent according to your abilities, then you need to produce 5 more. Not 1 more. Not no more. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us do not lose heart in doing good, for in time we shall reap if we don't grow weary." Now, it's hard when there's not a lot of people around you, people that believe like you do, people to feed off of, to talk to. It's hard not to grow weary. I can imagine what it'd like to be like to be 60 or 70 and, you know, have a church that has 10 people or 15 people. And you know, that would make you grow weary. Okay? But the Galatians says, don't lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we don't grow weary. I'm ready to reap, and I ain't even y'all's age. Okay? So invest so I can reap. Revelations 2:26. "He who overcomes and keeps my deeds to the end, I will give to him authority over the nations." You want to be high in this kingdom? You don't get to be king, but you can be up there. Okay? You have to overcome and keep his deeds. A lot of people don't like that verse, probably. Deeds means you have to do something. It's not about coming to church or tithing, you know. Well, it is tithing, but it's not just about those things. There's a lot more deeds. It's all the deeds, the whole thing. I'm going to close here. Matthew 24:9. It says, and this is speaking to the end time. "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another, and false prophets will arise and mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased," lawlessness is breaking the law, right? Can't be lawlessness if there is no law. "And because lawlessness is increased," which it is today, "most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end shall be saved." You have to endure to the end. If you don't have a HRA, you need to start one. If you know someone that doesn't have a HRA, you need to convince them to start one. Start early. Don't wait. Now is the time. And if you have one and you haven't contributed to it lately, you better start. It's the only way to get it to grow. And we're talking about your retirement plan and you don't want to be living in a tent in retirement. You want the big mansion, right? Okay. You invest in your retirement plan and start today. Be steadfast and consistent. And to y'all that have a lot of equity, don't let it sit there. Grow it. Grow it to the very end. Maximize your return on that investment. Maximize it to the very end. Invest all the way up to retirement every single day. Amen? Amen.